It is Tuesday morning. We check in with City Councilman Tim Mayer. He makes his weekly Tuesday visit. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Good. How's life on your side of town?
You know, it's really good, and I want to thank you for the nice weather.
Well, after Saturday's 26 hours of constant rain, I figured the least we could do was help out here on a final week of April. Did you survive a little five? Did you ride your bike fast? Did you do a good job there?
Yes.
Well,
yep.
Good. Well, that's good.
I did. No, it was nice and quiet in my neck of the woods, so it was a good little five.
I'm guessing the rain didn't hurt that one bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
But a gorgeous day on Saturday or on Sunday. You'd have loved to switch those 2 days. But as we get things wrapped up here in April, you guys got a meeting tomorrow night?
We do not.
Okay, cool. But you've had a couple, I don't want to say contentious ones the last couple of weeks, but get us caught up on what we might have missed.
Well, what we did do is we did pass the ordinance that would allow the expansion of the seating in the Shortstop convenience store on the corners of Smith Road and 10th Street. The issue there was whether the owner of that operation could increase the seating space within the restaurant and amend his planned unit development to allow indoor cooking, which we did allow. But the issue that was surrounding it, which was really tangential to that, was that they prepare barbecue in smokers on the outside of the building. And some of the neighbors were concerned and complaining about that. But the reality was that we really had no control over what our decision on increasing seating, and the interior modifications had no bearing on the outside cooking because of the way state law reads and city and county law reads. So
now, has this opened up a Pandora's box of worms moving forward?
Well, you know, some council members expressed a concern, obviously. I think everybody is concerned about it. But most acknowledge that we would probably have to find a state statute that would allow us to control that type of cooking. So,
Tim, let me ask you a question. I drive by just about any restaurant in town and smell what they're cooking.
That's true.
So you should see the miles difference on his car.
Yeah, because I go and smell a lot of restaurants.
Well, I think what the people were concerned about was barbecuing meat using, mm-hmm. Wood fire to add to the flavor of the cooking. So, which creates a lot of smoke sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time when it's cooking, but some of the times when the fire is starting up or at certain phases of cooking, it does smoke quite a bit. So,
well, when you guys are looking at something like that, meaning the city council, because my next door neighbor could have a smoker on his patio.
That's true.
So when you start to think about that,
and this
do you
is
have
right next to
consider
to a gas
those
station
things?
Well, I mean that there goes the issue. It expands pretty exponentially, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes.
You know, if you extend it to individuals barbecuing in their backyard, so you know there are certain restaurants that do exhaust.
There are certain stands that pop up on street corners every Friday mm-hmm. afternoon that do the same thing.
That's true.
And now, what if the deer start smoking things? Is this the sign of the apocalypse? What's happening here? But the point is, moving forward, is who is going to drive this to the next level? Is this going to be citizen-based? Is it going to be councilperson-based? Or is it just going to be yesterday's news?
It could be yesterday's news because we could find out that we have
legally
no jurisdiction in because of state stature. That is one possibility. I'm not saying it is without researching it, but that is one possibility.
Is this one of the ways that legislation develops? You're doing one thing, and then somebody starts to think, well, wait a second, maybe we ought to have some kind of legislation, and that's how it grows?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, a number of years ago, I had a lot of research done on what are called outdoor furnaces. Those are burning furnaces that stand separate from the house, and they burn the heat. They gain the heat by what is called reduction firing. So, you know, you get the fire started, then you close it down. So you keep just a little bit of air going in, which makes it burn hot, but it also makes it very smoky. And the concern was that you know, if people in neighborhoods started to install these outdoor furnaces on their property, they would be adding to the pollution in the neighborhood. So, but we ultimately figured out that, you know, the state had more control over it than...
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Who determines what levels of quote-unquote pollution? That can't be a city function, can it?
No.
You just don't have the time and the resources to...
No, it would fall to the Indiana Department of Environment.
So if somebody has a problem, they can come to you, but probably the best way to address that would be go to the experts at the state?
That is correct.
Okay, well, we just want to give these people an out because we don't want to make it sound like, well, geez, there's nothing we can do about this.
That's right.
That is not the case.
Well, and it's interesting in the shortstop issue because... you know, open burning is one thing, it's when the flame is not covered, but this is covered burning because...
Well, and the interesting point is the expansion of the restaurant, as you mentioned, had nothing to do with...
It had no control over...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they could cook less stuff, they could cook more stuff, and that's a separate issue on all of that. Our guest this morning is City Councilman Tim Mayer. He checks in every Tuesday morning, whether there's a Wednesday meeting or not. Sometimes it's good when you don't have a meeting so we can go back and figure out what we might have missed, Keith.
It's the fifth Wednesday. That's why there's no meeting.
That's right.
That sounds made up. Is
now,
that true?
You're going to have your meeting the week after.
That is correct.
That word "isid" is still in the vocabulary.
That is correct because we did have a committee of the whole meeting last Wednesday on the 10th and College request to basically give a tax relief to a apartment building. The council discussed it. I'm not sure how the vote's going to go because it seemed like a lot of council members decided not to vote yes or no. They just took a pass. So the issue is that it will take a large chunk of money for 10 years out of the TIF district that it sits in. So that's the issue, and I think council members were concerned about that. So we shall see.
And then coming up on your agenda are some designations of historic districts in Bloomington, downtown?
City Council will take up in the near future. I can't tell you the dates because the calendar hadn't been set, but we will be looking to designate the downtown square around the courthouse historic, which will then limit to what people can do to those buildings. They won't be able to tear them down and build new buildings necessarily. They'll have to stay.
They'll have to crumble there in peace and quiet.
No. They'll be able to restore and make them better and better. And then also we will take up a historic designation for the remaining buildings in the shower complex area.
What's that? That's the tech part.
The ones that weren't determined to be knocked down.
Yeah.
The ones that are kept have survived the cut.
That is correct.
And will make it. Now, who comes up with this idea, and why is this important?
Well, let me just finish. That is in the tech park. The showers structures are in the tech park.
Yeah, Morton and 10th are right around there.
Morton and 9th. Rogers and 11th.
And okay.
That's kind of the diagonal corners of it. So, who comes up with it? Well, citizens come up with it. The Historic Preservation Commission comes up with it. There are a number of ways that can come about. But, you know, people have been looking at the courthouse square for many years. And
now I'm going to ask a really dumb question. How far does that extend out? Is it the courthouse obviously is the inside of the square. So the outside of the square is all four north, south, east, west. Fronts, tops to bottoms, behind it, how far does that work?
I don't have the answer.
Okay.
But a map will be available soon, I'm sure.
But most of those are just one building, right? There's not a double layer in there. So it's just, it is what it is.
Question for you.
It'll probably be a block perimeter, something.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And is this helpful in what sense for the city moving forward? Is it just to say, hey, come visit historic downtown Bloomington? Is it preserves what? The integrity?
Well, I think what it does is, you know, Bloomington is known for its downtown square because we've been very fortunate in having CFC properties.
Absolutely.
In many regards. And others as well, preserving what is there and developing it, you know, in a compatible way with the existing structures. And that, so we've been fortunate in that realm. If you go to other communities around the state, you know, where they've basically removed a lot of the old buildings, it's just not the same. So it is unique character to the city, and I think it's something we really should pursue.
Tim, let me ask you a question. In other parts of historic designations, there have been things like you could only put in certain kinds of windows, you can only paint a certain color. And one of the other things we've heard is, let's say over where the Oliver Winery thing is over on the square, if somebody decided to buy that and wanted to put a McDonald's in there, would that prevent all of that kind of stuff?
Zoning won't even do that.
Would that prevent that?
Right.
Not necessarily so, because we have the standardized business ordinance that controls how the exterior of the building looks.
So the historic doesn't keep that from happening?
That is correct.
And would it include what colors you can paint the outside and such?
Yes, it would. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
And the kinds of windows and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think...
What percentage of the square is owned by CFC?
No, that's a good question.
98? 97?
No, I don't know. I don't know that I go that far. Clearly the south side of the square, because that's Fountain Square.
Right.
But then there's buildings sprinkled
so in. So basically this is a preemptive and progressive movement, so you don't have to fight this down the road if this would have come up.
That is correct.
So there you go. So you're making your job easier by making your job easier.
Well, I think it's also making the job easier for people who own those buildings and people who are potentially own those buildings.
Yeah, you know where you're at. You know what you're getting
into. Right.
And
right.
There shouldn't be a whole lot to deal with that. Tim Mayer's our guest. He's a city councilman. He checks in every Tuesday, usually before his meetings on Wednesday. But we've quieted it down with all of that. There's a big election coming up a week from today.
That is correct.
So let's remind everybody in this half hour, early voting continues through Monday, but I don't want to confuse people. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday is 9 to 6 at the former Johnson Hardware building. If you look for the signs, you'll be able to find it, no problem. Saturday is 9 to 3. Next Monday is 8 to noon. And then a week from today, you must vote in your precinct. No questions asked about that. So you have multiple ways of getting your ballot cast. Remember, this is a city election, and for folks like me in the county, sorry, you're out of luck.
Oh,
I'll get you on the next one. Don't worry.
So I have one question for you. Why do we still call it the Johnson Hardware Building?
That's what everybody refers to it as
wow.
Like a landmark. So
well,
I don't know.
The Johnson Creamery Building across the street.
Well, I don't want to do that because that's not where it's at. I don't want you going across the street.
Why not? But they still call that the Johnson something.
Well, you know, on the other side of the street, where the rubber stamp shop is,
right?
That used to be Johnson Plumbing Supply.
Jeez. And now it's where the rubber meets the road.
That's
oh,
right.
Boo.
Put your rubber stamp
hey,
on that.
Hey, question for you as an unopposed.
And your last one, we don't need to keep you here just to keep
okay.
you here.
As an unopposed candidate, how hard is the campaigning?
I'm sorry, say that again.
As an unopposed candidate,
yes.
in the primary, how hard is your campaigning?
And who do you debate against?
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of forums where we had the opportunity to speak. Generally, when you're an unopposed candidate, the local media does not pay a whole lot of attention.
And your schedule is much freer.
Right. Yes, that's true.
I haven't seen many of your lawn signs.
I put one sign up yesterday.
In your yard or somebody else's?
My front yard.
There you go. Vote here.
I put my sign up.
There you
Good
go.
For you, Tim.
You put out your shingle, you put your sign out. And there you go. Tim, great job as always, and we will get caught up with you if you can believe it. Next Tuesday will be election.
Oh, I know.
Will you be available?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
It'll be an exciting day.
I didn't know if you were going to be out shaking babies and kissing hands or doing any of that thing. So we will catch up with you then a week from today, just in
Sounds
a normal
good.
Time, just after 8:05.
Perfect.
Hey, we appreciate the time. Good luck.
Thank you, and keep the good weather coming.
We will, I promise. At least for, hopefully, so next Tuesday is good, and everybody can get out and do their civic duty on that.
Great.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Looking forward.